So Greek, then Arabic, and
okay.
Give it a choice, we'll go the other way.
A reading from Acts 2, verses 1 to 21.
Kai entos in pleristai, ten hemeran tes pentecostes, esan pantes hamu epita auta. Kai agenata afno, ek tu uranu echas hosper feromenes, pnois biayas. Kai aplerosen halan tan oikan, hu esan kathemenoi.
Wa idha bisina shabiha binar tethar laham. Wateta waza a ala kul wahid minhum. Feta kalamun jamian min auru el kuts wa bata a yeta kalamun el belgat okra. Kama makana hum aru min an yeta kalamun.
Estaban de visita en Jerusalem judíos piadosos procedentes de todas las naciones de la tierra. Al oír aquel bullicio se agolparon y quedaron todos pasmados, porque cada uno de los que escuchaba hablar en su propio idioma.
Ils étaient tous dans l'étonnement et la surprise, et ils se disaient les uns aux autres: voici, ces gens qui parlent, ne sont-ils pas tous galiléens? Et comment les entendons-nous dans notre propre langue, à chacun, dans notre langue maternelle?
Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues.
Ta nulamir, oi hok hail, horo korodwe, I ogin iding ya hamir, do uturun. Iturun chorong ha yo korodwe choiga hasude chiu chihayuta harira.
Da trat Petrus auf mit den Elfen. Er hob seine Stimme und redete zu ihnen. Ihr Juden, liebe Männer, und alle, die ihr zu Jerusalem wohnet, das sei euch kundgetan, und lasset meine Worte zu euren Ohren eingehen.
Wir sind helemaal nicht dronken, zoals u denkt. De dag is nog maar net begonnen. Het is pas 9 uur. Wat hier gebeurt is al lang geleden door de profeet Joël voorspeld.
Kami wa yuareru, owari no hi ni, watashi wa subete no hito ni, watashi no rei wo sosogu. Sono toki, anata gata no musuko, musume wa yogen shi, seinen wa maboroshi wo mi, roujin wa yume wo miru. 聖霊は男女を問わず私に仕える者たちに注がれる。すると彼らは予言をする。
Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood for the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, you know, what a joy it is for me to be here today. I know a number of you have known you for many years, and it always feels a bit like coming home when I'm here. Thank you for your warm welcome of me this morning. It's quite a privilege for me to be here. So quite clearly, Lynn has prepared us beautifully to talk about the Holy Spirit today and to talk about Pentecost. When Kent first asked me if I would consider preaching this morning, I said, well, my first question is, do you use the Universal Lectionary, or does the guest speaker choose what he or she wishes to speak on? And he said, oh, you can use the lectionary, or you can choose whatever scriptures you'd like. And I thought, Pentecost Sunday, not choosing. We will go with the lectionary. So as you perhaps read in the bulletin, I served as a missionary, associate pastor, in a variety of roles in France for 13 years. And one of my roles in the latter years of that period was to travel around to the different European countries. I was coordinator for Europe and West Africa. So I got to travel, and I got to meet with pastors and visit their churches, speak, just really have the joy of seeing the church displayed in many different cultures. And at one point, I was in the Netherlands with my dear friend there, and they held monthly, they called them fire nights, very appropriate for today, times to come for worship and prayer and teaching from Scripture. And I was there, and after one of these evenings was over, the formal part was over, my friend said, would you go around and pray for people who would like you to do that? So I said, sure, love to do that. And so one of the people I prayed for was a lady who was sitting on the couch. I'd never met her before. I didn't know her. I didn't know anything about her. And my friend Marianne was very careful not to tell me anything about her. And you might wonder what the significance is of that. Like, why not say, what would you like prayer for? Which we often, of course, do. But she didn't do that because she wanted to see, what will the Holy Spirit bring forward in prayer? Because it means a lot to people when they see that the Holy Spirit has placed something on your heart to pray for, and not just because you knew that they needed something. So I began to, I sat for a minute, and then I began to pray for her, and I really felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to pray for comfort in deep sorrow. It's a risk, because I don't know if she's in deep sorrow or not. But I'm familiar enough in my own self with how that feels and how his voice feels that I thought, well, what's the worst that can happen if she's not in deep sorrow? She has been at some point in her life, and she will be at another point. So I'm not going to hurt anything. So I started to pray along those lines, and suddenly this image of a big, white, thick, down duvet popped into my head. And I thought, oh, no, I don't know what this is about. I have no idea if this is meaningful to her or not. So I sat on it for a few seconds, and I kept praying, and I didn't say anything, and I just couldn't shake it. It kept being there, and I thought, okay, we'll give this a try. So I told her that I had this image in my mind. I'm picturing a really large... Great visual. Thank you, Brian. Those of you who've traveled in Europe are probably familiar with the fabulous. They're not the wimpy little things we buy here. They're serious. You know, when you make the bed, it looks like there's still a couple of bodies in it because they're so high and they're just wonderful. And that's what had come to my mind. And so I said, I'm just wondering, this image is on my mind, and I'm wondering if it holds any meaning for you. She immediately started to cry. And when she could regain her composure, she said, when I was a child, anytime I was troubled or sad, my father would take my parents' big double bed down duvet off the bed, wrap me in it, and hold me. And I thought, oh, you precious Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, you knew that about her. I didn't. As it turned out, she had lost someone very, very dear to her that week, and she was deeply in need of something I didn't even know about. I didn't know the woman. I didn't know what she was going through, but God did. God did, and the Holy Spirit did, and he gave me that image to show her that even though I didn't know her, he knew her. He knew exactly what picture would speak the most strongly to her. And then she, of course, made the leap to, this is God. God holds me in my deep sorrow as if in the duvet of my childhood. So who is the Holy Spirit? As I was saying to the children when I was a child, I just pictured a ghost. And, you know, I Casper the Friendly Ghost, I don't know, TV show at the time. And why do we celebrate him on Pentecost? It's important to know. Now, we've just gotten to do the fabulous story, and honestly, could you be handed a better story for the children's message in the entire liturgical year? No, not even Christmas, I don't think. The beloved writer Max Lucado, I'm sure many of you are familiar with, wrote in 1995 that in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did not live within the people who trusted him. Instead, God sent the Holy Spirit to touch and use people in specific times for specific events, and then it would be withdrawn. He would be withdrawn. This is not what we know in our time, because it's not how God chooses to work with us. But on the day of Pentecost, in contrast to the Holy Spirit coming once in a while for a specific, discrete task, on the day of Pentecost, we read that each of them in the room, and it does say each of them, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I said again with the children, it wasn't just flames of fire up here, filled in their hearts. This was the symbol of what was happening in their hearts. So we celebrate Pentecost as the day God sent the Holy Spirit to live within, inside, to dwell within those who believe in him. All the time, not just some of the time. We wear red to celebrate this sacred day as a visual of the Holy Spirit and the fire and power that he brought to the church. This is the birthday of the church. We know, none of us would say that ever say the Holy Spirit isn't important, but we might not be so sure about exactly who he is or what he does, and we often forget him. I think it's easy to go some time without even thinking about it and forget. We're much more focused on God and Jesus, and of course our worship is focused on God and Jesus, so we don't think so much about the Holy Spirit, and maybe we're not even sure where he fits in or what to make of him. One of the beautiful affirmations of Valley Covenant Church is this: a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. Conscious. We are aware. We are wanting to invite the Holy Spirit to be in our daily lives to help us. And a conscious dependence. We need him. We need him. I was thinking last night, you know, what am I calling this word today? And I thought, come Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. And perhaps the church has never needed him as much as we do now in our very troubled and dark world. But let's look at some of the things that Scripture tells us about the roles that he plays in our lives, because they are numerous. First of all, he's not an it. He's not a ghost, and he's not an it. He is a person. Jesus referred to him in very personable terms. He is coming. I will send him. You can't send an it. You send a person. He talked about him in John 14-16. And then in Galatians 5:22-23, we see the fruit of the Spirit listed. These are not only things for us to aspire to by the grace of God, but they are the attributes of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are what the Holy Spirit looks like. Secondly, he is the third member of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is our helper, and his specific role in the Trinity is to carry out the plans of God in our lives. I know a six-year-old little boy with Asperger's, a form of autism, and he loves the Trinity. He loves to talk about the triune God. It's so funny to see this six-year-old talking about the triune God. But if you ask him, "So, Scott, what does that mean, the triune God?" Well, it means God is the papa. He's the manager. He plans the operations. Jesus is the healer. He comes and works with our hearts. The Holy Spirit is the one who gets things done. I just love that. He carries out the plans of God in our lives. Third, when we give our hearts to Christ and we seek to walk with him, the Holy Spirit, this is the promise of Jesus, he lives within us, as I said earlier. He dwells within us. Jesus said in John 14:17, those same couple of chapters, that the Holy Spirit would dwell both with us and in us. So he accompanies us, but he's always in us. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit living in us. Fourth, and this is one we can all use more of, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He is wisdom personified, the wisdom that comes from God. We all need wisdom to know what to do in certain situations. And elsewhere in Scripture, God says, ask for wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Ask for it. I have called on that promise hundreds, perhaps thousands of times. God, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom. Sometimes it's just the instantaneous prayer when you realize I'm in a situation. Right now I need wisdom. Will you give it to me? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 wrote that he prayed for the church, that the Holy Spirit would give us wisdom. Number 5, he empowers us to serve God and love and serve people. Acts 1, verse 8 gives us the promise that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are also given the power to do the things that God asks us to do. Think about that. We don't have to be responsible to drum up the power to do these things. We can ask him. He wants to help us. For example, the Holy Spirit, I fully believe with all my heart, gave me that picture of the duvet for this lady whom he loved so dearly and knew her need. A dear friend who is a therapist counts on the Holy Spirit to give her pictures, metaphors, insights that will help her specific client in the moment better understand their own work and their healing process. She doesn't tell them that. She doesn't say, thus saith the Lord, or God has given me a picture for you. She just incorporates it and then sees, oh yeah, that picture really works for me. That really explains this or that. It's the Holy Spirit working with her. She is a believer. Number 6, he's our teacher. In John 14:26, Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, of course, he was talking with the disciples in the context of having been with them. He'll remind you of the things that I taught you when I was with you. But it's also true for us. He will remind us of things that are in Scripture, of promises we've read of things that God has taught us, things we've come to learn about him. He will remind us, bring them to our memories so we don't forget. Number 7, he is our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's our advocate. He goes to bat for us. This word is used in John 14:26, teacher, and it comes from the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos. It means literally helper or advocate. He comes alongside right next to us to provide us with help when we need it. And, you know, I can say that. We can all hear that and think, yeah, yeah, he gives us help. But it's real. He means it. Do you need help with something? Ask me. I will give you wisdom. I will teach you. I will come alongside you and help you. I will grease the wheels. Two summers ago, I was in the Netherlands caring for a friend who was deathly ill, the same woman who asked me to pray for people in her home. And I ran into what she and I came to call knots, balls of knots. Harry, I believe it's knopje, Nederlands. Knots. And we came to realize, and we still do this, when there's a big problem, there's something we can't solve, or we see something up ahead and we panic, we have learned to say, God, here is in knopje, a big ball of knots, and we cannot pull that string out to make it simple. We can't. We need you desperately to help us with this, to unravel this ball of knots. And time after time after glorious time, we have seen him do just that. And I saw that all the time when I was over there caring for her. Number 8, again in John 16, 7 to 8, Jesus taught us that the Holy Spirit would reveal our sin. What is sin? Well, it's simply falling short of who God is. It means, gosh, big news, we're not exactly like God. We are not perfect in what we think and the intentions of our hearts and our actions. We sin in all of those areas, in big ways and little ways that no one else even knows about. But the Holy Spirit shows us with the most gentle voice, patiently, lovingly, you can do that differently. You can turn in a different direction there. You can apologize for what you said yesterday. And he leads us back to God. Because repentance is turning, right? It's turning from what we're doing and going the opposite direction. Yes, I will go back to you, Lord. I won't continue in this way of speaking to this person. I will repent from that. I will tell you that I realize I'm wrong and ask you to forgive me and walk back toward God in the way that I speak or the way that I think. Number 9, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, according to Jesus. Again, in John 16, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit would not only lead us into truth, but he would lead us into all truth, truth about anything we need to know about. And when I was thinking over this the last few months, I thought, boy, if there's anything we need today, it's to be led into all truth. Because our world, and for us especially our American culture, confusion abounds, doesn't it? You can find someone to believe anything. We don't see truth demonstrated. And we don't see people seeking to know and to do what is true. But glory to God, we can trust the Holy Spirit to teach us what is true. Many times I've prayed, Lord, I have no idea what is right here. Will you please show me? Will you guide me in my thoughts, in my steps, so that I can do what is true, what is right? And 10, the last one, one of my favorite memories of my beloved grandmother, Mimi, was the pretty, soft, warm, slippery comforters that she made for us. When we were visiting her home, if we were napping on the couch, or if we were sick, or if we were cold, she'd call out, "Do you need a comforter, Marianne?" I still have one of those. And when I'm sick, that's what I want. One of Mimi's comforters. But today we are in desperate need, desperate, of another kind of comforter. The Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. This is also one of his roles. In John 16, 6, the disciples were really sad because Jesus had just told them that he'd be going away, and they were not happy about it, and they weren't happy with him. But he told them, this is for your own good. Because if I go away, then I can send you the comforter, the helper, the advocate, the teacher. We live in a world that is increasingly filled day by day with pain, sorrow, confusion, darkness, trauma, injustice, hatred, and cruelty. In such times, who among us does not need a comforter? We all need a comforter. Jesus sent the comforter to live within us and give us comfort in these days of profound unrest and pain in our country and in our world. So we've looked briefly at 10 different roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives according to Scripture. But just as we must learn to train the eyes of our hearts to look for and see the goodness of God. Do you know that? If you don't look for the goodness of God, you won't see it. You have to have eyes open. Oh, that was you, Lord. That was you. That was you. You are so good to me. Things can happen to us and we can think, well, that's life. It just happened. Or we can say, God, thank you. That's your goodness. I see your goodness at play. Even in the hard things, I see your goodness at play. So just as we must train our eyes to do that, so we must train the ears of our hearts to listen and become accustomed to his quiet voice. It's not a roar like that mighty wind. It's a whisper, and we can easily miss it if we don't train ourselves to listen for it, to look for it. So what might that look like? It might be as simple as, gosh, that person's been on my mind for several days now. Wonder why. Maybe I should call her. Maybe I should stop by. Maybe I should drop her a card in the mail. You don't know what's going on with her. Calling her will not hurt her in any way if it turns out that she's not in need. But I have seen countless times over the years in my life when I follow up on those things, and I tend to think, this is the way I think, okay, that's been on my mind for a few days or even a couple of weeks if I'm slow to respond. I better act on that. I better follow up because maybe there's a place where I can do some good, where I can be an encourager or be of help in some way. When we become attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he can guide us in wisdom. He can guide us in truth, and he can empower us to serve other people and love them. When the Holy Spirit gave me this picture of the down comforter to use in praying for a stranger in deep sorrow, I really had to trust him that something that seemed to not be related in any way would in fact be meaningful and helpful to her. And by the way, again, if I was wrong, no big deal. We'd both laugh and say, oh, look at Marianne. She thought something about a comforter. But that wasn't what happened. It was extremely meaningful to her in that moment. The Holy Spirit gave me that. But when he does that with us, like when he puts someone on your heart and you think, gosh, I should call him, we need to respond. That's how we train our ears, is to respond and say, okay, I will call. I will go check up on that person in case this is the voice of God. So again, the voice is not a thundering revelation, but a whisper from the Holy Spirit that we learn to recognize and honor with time and experience. We learn to trust it. Our good God also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit for our own benefit. He tells us things about ourselves. I thought of something, what was it? A few weeks ago, that happened several years ago. And it felt like the Holy Spirit put a spotlight on it, a very gentle spotlight, but a spotlight nonetheless on it for me. And I saw it in a way I had never seen it before, and I was ashamed of what I had said and what I had thought. And I thought, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that back to my attention so that I can agree with you that this was wrong. I can ask for your forgiveness, and I can go back to that person and say, do you remember when I said this to you? Maybe you don't, but I do. This is what I said. I'm so very sorry that I did that. God has shown me that I was wrong. So he does it for our own benefit too. And he does it also to encourage us. I hope that you have times when you sense the voice of God inside of you saying, well done, Kent. Wow, Bethel, way to go. That's my daughter. When you can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit bringing you encouragement, bringing you comfort. At his prompting, we can make a phone call. We can share an encouraging word with a stranger in the grocery store. I do this a lot. May I say something to you, or may I pay you a compliment? I have never had anyone be offended by that. It actually happened to me yesterday at the credit union. This woman just had such a lovely spirit about her, the woman who was helping me at the, what do we call those? Counter in the bank. And I thought, it's the bank. This isn't the place to say something personal. But it stayed on my mind the whole time she was working with me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to say something. So I said, may I pay you a compliment? She said, oh, yes. People don't usually say no to that. Oh, yes, of course. So I said, what a lovely, gracious heart you have, and a beautiful, warm voice, and a lovely smile, and you've made me feel very welcome, and as though you really want to help me today. And in the back of my mind was, tell her that you pray that God will bless her. I'm not going to say that in the bank. And there's a line of people, and this is about money. It's not about things like that. But I couldn't shake it. And I know better than to walk out of the bank without doing that. So I said, just very simply, I pray that God blesses you today. Oh, my gosh, that woman reached across, you know, they have all these barriers, reached across those barriers, grabbed both of my hands, shook them, and said, oh, thank you. I needed to hear that today. I really needed that. And God bless you, too. And I thought, oh, God, I'm sorry that I ever hesitate, because I love to see the fruit of what you do in people. When you speak about a situation that I know nothing about, she's a stranger to me, but you, again, know the person. You can share a positive picture that comes into your mind for somebody. You can give someone a gift. You can take flowers. Maybe it's on your heart to give someone $5. You don't know why they might need it, but God does. The point is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit and we act on what he tells us, we can change lives around us in very simple actions, but very profound ways for the person. It is often said in the church that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not remain where he is not invited or wanted. We talk about the dove as being the symbol. Doves will not alight for a long time if they feel they're not welcome. Excuse me. And again, as that covenant affirmation exhorts us, we must foster a conscious dependency upon our advocate, the Holy Spirit. So now for a few minutes, I'd like us to move into making some steps regarding what we've just talked about. And there is a simple old chorus of the church that I'm quite sure some of you will know that we're going to use to help us take a couple of minutes to specifically invite and welcome the Holy Spirit into our midst. And by that I mean into our midst in terms of his presence, not that he's not here already, but also in our own hearts. So it's corporate, but it's also individual. I will sing this beautiful verse, and then we will sing it together. So let's take a minute just to welcome the Holy Spirit in our hearts. She needs water. Okay. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Let's sing that together, and each of us individually invite the Holy Spirit, make him welcome in our hearts. And Lynn's going to play for us.
Holy Spirit,
Yes, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, and you are welcome in each of our hearts. We want you. We need you. We want you. Having welcomed him, we also want to ask him to fill us again, because being filled with the Holy Spirit didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost. Those disciples needed to, as the Greek says, be being filled, to be in a constant state of being filled. Holy Spirit, come, fill me. Once again, with another simple old chorus of the church, let's continue to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, this time inviting him to come and fill us, to fall afresh upon us, to soften our hearts. I was so grateful, Lynn, that we had introduced to us early in the service, changing, God wanting to change our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. And that simply means we all have cold hearts, every one of us. At times, our hearts are very cold and they're very hard. And God wants to trade out those cold, hard hearts for soft hearts that can be impacted by him and by the needs of people. So, to fall on us, to fill us, to soften us, to mold us into the likeness of Jesus, to fill us and to use us, of course, once he's done that. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And once again, Lynn is going to accompany us. I encourage you to use this time to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh, even if you've been filled countless times.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me.
Amen.